We're very happy to see each and every one of you today. As we can easily tell looking around, there many of our members are on vacation or out of town this week. It's great to see all of you. We really appreciate when we come together as a family, as a congregation, we have the opportunity to strengthen and renew our commitment to God and our bond that we have with one another as a family here, to know each other better, to encourage one another, to help each other grow in our own relationships with God. And the scripture emphasizes so many times the unity, the fact that we are being equipped to serve better, and that each member is vital and important in the church, that we cannot say to one another, you are unnecessary. We're all necessary and vital in the strength of the church here. So even though many are away today, it's wonderful to see each other and to be able to be together today. We're planning to, Karen and I, to drive over to Montana today to visit with our family and our grandsons and help take care of them. And in a couple of weeks, they are planning to come stay with us for a week, so we're excited about that. But as Matt pointed out, I thought it was so important in the comments about the Lord's Supper, talking about the sacrifice that Jesus has made for us. And on Wednesday evening, we're studying the book of Hebrews, and it's a deeper study there in the book of Hebrews about the sacrifice that Jesus has made and how Jesus is our high priest. It really helps us to understand that Old Testament system with the high priest and the tabernacle and the worship, in spite of all the pomp and ceremony that was there, which many of the Jews loved, it did not do what a priest and a priesthood is designed to do, and that is to bring the worshiper into the presence of God. But Jesus, by his perfect sacrifice, has done that for us. And we are able to, as we worship together and as we live the Christian life, we're able to come into the direct presence of God because of the sacrifice that Jesus has made for us. We'd like to turn back today into the earlier part of Jesus' ministry, where at the beginning, as was pointed out, there were thousands of people following Jesus. And he took the opportunity to go on to a mountain near this, overlooking the Sea of Galilee there somewhere, and taught the Sermon on the Mount. And in that sermon, he talks about the need for us not to worry, to live our lives in a way that we experience the confidence of God's blessings in our life and live without worry. God does not want us to live a life where we are beset with worries and troubles and cares in this life, but to be able to live a life that is really rejoicing in the blessings that God has for us as we prepare to someday be together in heaven. Back in the 1980s, there was a popular song that many of you might remember called "Don't Worry, Be Happy," and it was by Bobby McFerrin, and it was a very catchy tune. But in the words of that song, it talked about some of the things that Jesus actually talks about here. Said that in every life there will be trouble. When you worry, you make it double. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy. So it's a lighthearted song talking about a way to approach your life and not be worrying about the little things that come up in day-to-day living. We all need to take a lesson from not just that song, but from what Jesus teaches, because he talks about this so much. He came back to this on several occasions in his teaching, how that he wants us to be happy. He began the Sermon on the Mount with that note, saying in the first 12 verses of the Sermon on the Mount there, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." He emphasized how that living our life with our focus on the spiritual blessings that God is able to give us, we are able to be happy people. We are able to have a life that, even though this world, we constantly have things that come up every day in life. And certainly if we were to count them out, we would never run out of things to worry about in life. Every day, new things come up. And yet Jesus teaches us not to live our lives that way, but to learn to look to Him and the blessings that He has for us. He says, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." There are many things that we can and do worry about. We tend to worry too much in our lives about the things that we have to deal with from day to day. And I'm not underestimating those at all, because the responsibilities we have, the pressures that we have, are there, and we can't ignore those. We have responsibilities as parents and husbands to support our families, and all of these take up our time, and they are things that we can be concerned about. But Jesus, in Luke, the 8th chapter, verse 14, he said that we can be choked out. These cares and riches and pleasures of this life, we need to be careful that they do not choke out the Word of God. Meaning that they can strangle us from our spiritual growth and our spiritual life if we allow these cares of this world to creep in and become the consuming thing that we worry about in life. Jesus went to the home of Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10. And one of the things that he noticed about Martha, he said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things." You're worried and troubled about many things. That word that is used for worry sometimes carries the idea of having a divided mind, being distracted, not being able to focus on God and what your life should be about, because you're worried and distracted by the cares of this life. Luke chapter 12 and verse 22, which seems to be another occasion, but beside the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus there says in very similar terms, he says, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on." So we see that often Jesus came back and returned to that same thought over and over again in his teaching, the danger of worry and how that can affect us spiritually in our life. Now, we might ask the question, what exactly is Jesus prohibiting here? Is he saying that we cannot be concerned about the things of this life, with our health, for example? We've got several of you that we are praying for, and certainly our health is a great concern. Is it wrong for us to be concerned about that, to be concerned about our family, to be concerned about the future of our country and things of this nature? The word worry that Jesus used in Matthew chapter 6 here, where he says, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink," it means to be anxious, to be troubled with cares, to be unease, nervousness. Those are things, and once again, it carries the idea of a divided mind. That your mind is so distracted that you are thinking about these things and you're not able to think about the blessings and the greatness of God Himself. It takes our minds away from the focus that they really need to be centered upon constantly, to things that are troubling us here in this day-to-day life that we have. The physical things of life, usually. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul, in writing the Philippians, he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." But I think the greatest passage that where Jesus talks about how to live our lives without worry is found here in Matthew chapter 6. And in this passage, Jesus really lays out for us reasons why we should not worry. He goes through and shows us why worry is not something that is helpful to us in our lives as Christians. Beginning with verse 19, we really need to go back to verse 19 to understand and to see the context here of the reasons that Jesus is giving. So beginning in verse 19 through 21, Jesus says there that first of all, the reason that we should not worry is because our treasure is secure. Our treasure is where it cannot be taken away from us. That is, assuming that we have our treasure in the proper place. He says in verse 19, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consume, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, as I said, where is your treasure? Because Jesus is assuming here in his words that we will have our treasure in the proper place. That if our treasure is in heaven, we don't have to worry about it. It's going to be safe there. It's going to be secure in a way that no one can harm it. No one can take away that treasure. It's untouchable. Whereas the things that we have in this life here on this earth, we're constantly worrying about those. Someone just recently was telling me their home had been broken into. And we hear about that a lot. Things being violated in your... I think it was a lady in our neighborhood actually was telling me that the other day. That down at the end of our block, how that their home had been... Someone broken into their house a couple of different times that's happened. And did a lot of harm and a lot of damage in their home. But if our treasures are in heaven, as Jesus is saying, lay up for yourselves treasures, not on this earth. Our true treasures should be in heaven. What are they? The life that we're living, the preparing of ourselves to spend eternity with God. Focusing our primary efforts in life and our primary direction and focus is upon the life to come that God has promised for us. Then we don't need to worry about that. It's going to be safe. It's going to be secure. Men cannot harm it. They can't take away from it. It's not going to be defiled in any way. In 1 Peter chapter 4, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, he says that you have an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It's nice when you're going to be going to a ball game, for example, to have your reservation already purchased. When your airplane flight, you have your reservation. It's safe. It's secure. You know you have a seat on board the plane. Our inheritance is incorruptible. It's undefiled, reserved in heaven for you. That's what Jesus is talking about. You don't need to worry about that. Once you have that focus clearly in mind, as we grow older in life, as we have our health begins to decline, don't worry about it. Your home, your treasure, your inheritance is laid up for heaven, in heaven for you, and it's safe and secure. So that's the first reason we don't need to worry. Secondly, worry reveals what our heart really is. And Jesus points that out here when he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, your heart is going to be where your treasure is. And that really becomes your God when you begin to think about those things that are on your mind. It becomes almost like your God. That's what your heart is centered upon. Maybe something that you have been wanting to buy, to save your money for, and there's nothing wrong with that. But where is your heart? That's what Jesus is concerned about. Lay up your treasure in heaven. There your heart will be also. Keep our focus on heaven. Keep our focus on God. And we don't have to worry about the things of this life. He goes on to say in verse 22, the lamp of the body is the eye. In other words, when we look out from our life to the world around us, we're looking through the eye. What is your eye on? If he says your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now what is he saying? In verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And it's true that whenever we begin to be distracted to the things of this life and worrying about them and spending all of our thoughts upon them, then our minds drift away from God. And you cannot serve two masters. You're either going to serve God or mammon. The word mammon was an Aramaic word that meant money, and usually in a bad sense. Something that does not bring us the joy and the lasting happiness that we can have. All we have to see that is look at how many people are blowing their money going to the casinos. They're going to the casino to think that they're going to make more money. And occasionally, with the one-armed bandit, they may get a jackpot. But guess what? By the end of the day, they've spent more than they had to come back with. So the losses are always going to outweigh the wins that you have. So it's foolish to go down that route. Worry, though, reveals what our heart really is. Is our heart upon God? Is our heart upon heaven? Or is our heart focused upon the wealth that we can have in this life and our possessions? Because that's what we begin to worship. That becomes the center of our affection whenever that happens. Well, the third reason that Jesus tells us not to worry is because we need to announce at the beginning of each new day who our King is. We need to make a clear allegiance that our King is God. Our Lord is Jesus Christ. And once we establish that, then we can live our life without worry. We can live a worry-free life. He said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Beginning of the day, then, it is important for us to establish who our King is. Begin the new day right with God. As David did when he wrote in the book of Psalms, Psalm 5 and verse 3, he said, "My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you and I will look up." Well, if we establish that in the beginning of the day as it should be, then we arise and we open our day by focusing on our wonderful blessings that God is to us. And our day can go well. We set the tone of our day in the morning when we begin by acknowledging God, saying in our hearts, "Today the Lord comes first in my life." He comes first. And the other choices that are there, I have established the priority that my life is going to be lived in joy and peace because I choose what is holy. I choose what is set apart to God. And my life is about serving Him. Very important as far as overcoming worry to know who your Master is. Select. You can't have two. You have to have just one. All right. And the next reason that we should not worry is in verse 25. Do not worry about your life. Jesus says that. He says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" So don't worry about your life. And Jesus is indicating here what things are really most important. You are more important than your food and your clothing. And God knows that. God knows that you are of more value than those things. These things of this life. We tend to get sidetracked onto the peripherals of life rather than focusing on what is important. My life. God has blessed me with life. We're told in Acts chapter 17, is a good cross-reference to this thought, when Paul was in the city of Athens, and he was strolling through the city, he was taken by the fact that they were worshiping so many different gods. And the city was given to idols. They had an idol for everything you could possibly think of. But God said, Paul said, "I noticed there was an idol to the unknown God." And he said, I would like to talk to you more about that. God who made the world, everything in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, gives to all life, breath, and all things. And He has determined their pre-appointed times, the boundaries of their dwellings. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. See, they had it figured out right. They understood that we are the offspring of God. Our life our breath. In Him we live and move and have our being. So don't worry about your life. And don't get distracted onto the little stuff of life. Think about the big stuff. God has given us our life. He gives us our breath. He sustains our life. He sustains our world that we live in. So don't worry about the minor things. In verse 26 and 27, he goes on to say that worry, don't worry because it doesn't accomplish anything. It isn't helpful to us to spend time with worry. He said, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? And it looks as though what Jesus is saying is, which of you by worrying can add one cubit of length to the length of your life? You're not going to be able to. Worry is not helpful to us. It doesn't do any good to worry about the things of life. And if we look around us and we see the birds and they are cheerful and chirping and singing in the morning, and we see that God is providing for them, we are of more value than they are. Keep that in mind. How that God provides for them. The Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. That he prayed three times that God would take away that thorn in the flesh. But you know what God said? My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, needs, and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. It doesn't do any good to worry about things of life when it's things that we can't change anyway. It may be a physical condition that we have. Sometimes people worry about the look of their body. They worry about things that we can't change. We can't do anything about it. Don't worry about those things. Realize that God loves you. You're valuable. You're precious in the sight of God. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Be thankful for the blessing of life itself. And worry is not going to change anything. It's not going to help. It's not necessary to worry. Verse 28, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Just look at the beautiful flowers that we have here in the Northwest. Many of them grow wild out in nature. Just a beautiful covering of color and clothing. The roses, the lilies, the daisies, all the beautiful different colors that are out there. God shows us there how He provides for us. Reminds us of that constantly. So it's not necessary for us to worry. God is going to take care of us. And that's his next point in verse 30 through 32. Everything we need will be provided. It says, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown up, thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. It really is a faith issue when we're worrying. O you of little faith. Don't you know that God is going to provide for us the things that we truly need? In Matthew 7, 7 and 8, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. Everything we need will be provided. And that is a promise that God has made for us. Worry takes our mind away from those promises of God. He assures us of that over and over again. That God is faithful. He will not allow His children to go without the needs of life that they have. Back in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel were crossing through the wilderness, in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses reminded the people of Israel about that. Sometimes they begin to complain and murmur in the wilderness. But he reminded them of this. He said, God, for 40 years you shall remember the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments. So He humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord God chastens you. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and to fear Him. For the Lord is bringing you into a good land, a land of flowing with brooks and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of hills you can dig copper. So he goes on to tell them how God is going to provide for them. He just asks one thing of them. Do not forget the Lord your God when you come into this land. Do not forget that He is the one that has given you all these blessings. So in verse 33, Jesus says not to worry. We need to attend the spiritual first. Take care of the spiritual things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And God's kingdom is the church. It is where Christ is reigning spiritually in our lives. He is our king. He is our ruler. It is about His rule in our lives. And as we come together and worship and serve Him, in fact, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of heaven will not prevail, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Said that to Peter and the apostles. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So the spiritual needs to come first in our lives. Paul said over in 1 Timothy chapter 4, to exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So in all the zealous craze that we have of going to the gym and working out and taking care of our physical bodies that way, don't forget the spiritual is more important than any of that. And finally, in verse 34, don't worry because we need to live one day at a time. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And if you haven't noticed that, it really is true. You don't need to be worrying about tomorrow because there'll be plenty to worry about when it gets here, believe me. Don't need to worry about yesterday. There's 2 days that we never do need to worry about. One of them is yesterday, the other one is tomorrow. I have plenty to think about each new day that comes along. He says in James 4:13 through 15, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that.'" It's easy for us to get distracted. And whenever people do that, they take their eyes off of God. They forget how He is with us. Abraham and Sarah went down into Egypt, and they were worrying about the famine. And Abraham began to worry about Sarah being a beautiful wife and what would happen to her. And so he began to lie and say that she was his sister. And one thing led to another. Jesus and the disciples were in the boat, and Jesus was walking on the water. And Peter said, "Now let me come to you, Lord." But then he began looking down at the waves, and he began to sink. So whenever we take our eyes off of God and begin to worry about the things around us, is when we get into trouble. If we can keep our eyes on the Lord, we can live a worry-free life. We can live a life that truly is filled with joy and blessings. Looking to His presence, He's with us. Looking to His promises, spending time in prayer, and learning to live a life patiently trusting God, knowing that God is with us and will not forsake us. As He said in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28 through 31 there, He says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And that's what the possible is when we will keep our eyes focused on the Lord and not distracted by the worries of this life. If you're here this morning and subject to the invitation of Jesus Christ, He invites us to come to Him, surrender our life to Him, confess our faith in Jesus, repent and be baptized, be raised to walk in newness of life, become a new creature. Allow Him to remake us into a new person, made in the image and likeness of Christ, and help us to grow as a new child of God, a babe in Christ, as we study and grow in the understanding of His will. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song. If you're here today and subject to that, we hope you'll respond. Please come forward that we may assist you while we stand together and sing.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.